Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 30. The Bible verse is from the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That's 1 Peter 5:8. I remember when I was really involved in secular recovery, we would never say the word devil in there. We would call it, as I noticed even in this writing, because you know this book was written right as I was coming out of those rooms. And some of the language that I even have in the book reminds me, it's actually a good thing for me to remember that I have not always known what I know. And it gives me, patience when people, you know, are still in the language of secular recovery. I'm not secular anymore. Jesus is the center of my life. I'm Christ-centered. And the more I'm in His Word, then the more I know the language of the redeemed, and I can speak that language. But it's good for me to see that I didn't always know that, how to do that. And I would call it things like the disease, you know, as if it was, you know, something that was outside of my ability to do something about it. But I don't see it as that. As I said, even in the introduction this morning, it is sin for me. I know better. And I know that God has shown me a way to stay physically out of the food, but emotionally and spiritually as well. But the physical part is a big part of my staying out of the food, that I have to have the humility to acquire the knowledge of what do I do with my food. I didn't know what to do with my food. I knew that I need nourishment every day, but I definitely did not know how to navigate that. How do I get the nutrition that I need and not fall back into that pit that I kept falling into? I can remember times when I couldn't even see the binge coming. I just couldn't. I would be like, I don't know if you ever saw that, used to be a comic, a little comic strip called Kathy. And Kathy definitely was a binge eater. And they would have a picture of her and it would just be dust all around. And that's how it was. I would get into the food and it was like, gosh, I wish I had seen that coming. And all I knew to do, I would be covered with the crumbs and the stuff all over my face and the money that I was spending and the big thing, the time that I was wasting, because I would waste a lot of time in the binge, and then inevitably I would have to deal with the remorse and self-loathing. That was definitely one of the phrases that they coined in the 12-step rooms, but it was true. There was always that remorse and self-loathing. Sometimes it didn't come right away, but it always came. And when I think, you know, I have been called to be a leader for the Lord. He's left me here for that. Not only me, He's left everyone who has given their life to the Lord. I know there's some further in, before this verse, in 1 Peter 2, you know, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, I remember it, where Peter has written, you know, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so I am to behave in the way that I am. I am that person. I may not always can feel it in my heart, but God doesn't lie. He said that in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So I have a job to do. I have a big job to do, but not only me, every believer. We are to help people have that reconciliation with their Creator, Jesus, and they are to be there to help other people know about him and to also repent of their sins and receive that redemption that he wants to give. The Bible verse, let me go back, it says, be self-controlled and alert. And then it says, your enemy. You know, that devil is real. I don't need to kind of camouflage him or even pretend that, you know, he always is very obvious most of the time when people say devil, or if you have an iPhone, they have this little purple thingy with horns on it and whatever, whenever you write the word devil, that little emoji pops up or whatever. And no, he's not that little cute thing that you might see on your phone. He's an enemy, and he's a smart enemy. He's very, very smart and crafty. It says, so he's real. And it says, be self-controlled and alert. Alert, again, going back to alertness, of course, with the food. I don't want to be drunk. I do not want to be foggy-headed on anything. I want that clarity. I think about those verses in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. It says, you are all children of light, children of the day. You are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not live as others do, but let us stay awake and be sober. So I'm called to live a sober life, self-controlled, alert, because there is an enemy, and he has a name, and that name is the devil. And he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not lazy in that respect. He's not sitting back. He is definitely planning ways of destruction. So he says the devil prowls around, and he looks for someone to devour. As I said before, he's crafty and he is destructive. And so this understanding, there's still a book, but the author has gone to be with the Lord, and his name was Warren Wiersbe. And he had written a book one time, and I remember reading it years ago, and I still have it on my phone. And it was called, because I have Audible, I listen to books a lot. And one of the books that really helped me a lot was called The Strategies of Satan. And to realize, you know, I'm not working with a lightweight. The devil, he does dumb things like at times, but he's not stupid in that respect. He is crafty. And without the protective umbrella of the Lord, I could be taken, you know, out. But I am under that umbrella, and I stay under that umbrella, and I humbly walk in it. And like I said, one of the things that God does for believers when they come to know him is that he uses them to help other people. And when we look back in our own history, we can see that there were people put in place who helped us. There was someone who brought that message of salvation to us. Like, I look back on my own life, there was the people on the radio, but there was also, like I said, that woman who I worked with, who gave me my first Bible, and I never really had a conversation with her about, you know, needing what you would call the sinner's prayer or saying that. But I could look at her life and know that it was different. And that became like a living Bible for me, and it also drew me to want that. And so once we come to know the Lord, He actually gives us purpose and place, and we have opportunity to affect many lives. But we got to be very careful because, like I said, that enemy is watching, and what he plans to do is that he will use our pride. Once we are in a position of leadership, he will use that pride to think that we are beyond the need of feedback and all that, to keep walking with the Lord. And that's why I tell people, please hear my heart about immersing in the Word. You know, these little sprinklings of a Bible study here and the Bible study there, these are good. It's good to have, every once in a while a little Bible study and, a little chapter here and to go intensely in that. But remember from where you come. Remember what it feels like to be in an addiction, to have that besetting sin jumping all over your backbone and not being able to come up for air. And you will understand, while I firmly believe that I need to be in the whole Word of God, I need to have that part of a discipline in my life where I am reading the whole Word of God over and over and over again, and also hiding that Word in my heart and keeping in step with the Spirit, because it reminds me, it humbles me, it shows me, girl, you got so much that you still need to learn. And yes, there might be people that are behind me or come behind me that I'm called to help, but I'm not the helper myself. I'm just a servant, and I always like to keep that image in my own mind. You know, when you go to a restaurant, these fancy restaurants, and these servers come out with these big tray of food, but they don't make the food. They go in and they go actually into the kitchen, and the makers put it on their tray, and then they come out and they serve the people. And it's the same thing. You know, the things that God gives me that are helpful to people, it comes from Him. This is from the Lord. So I want to walk with Him, be in His Word, see where I am a mess. I'm still a mess. You know, I wrote down in my journal this morning, Lord, show me my unconfessed sin. I can always tell when I have forgotten to keep looking at my own plate is when I am doing what I call those three C's. I am criticizing, I'm criticizing, and I'm competing, and I'm comparing. Ugh, it's a horrible way to be, but I thank God that I can cry out to the Lord, please, I don't need to be that way, and I don't want to be that way. And so I have learned that I can never let up, I should say, about guarding the gift that God has given to me. Because, as I walk more and more in the Spirit, I become more of a threat to that evil one. And like somebody once wrote, new levels, new devils. Yeah, he's crafty. And if he can't get me in one way, whoo, he'll get me in another way. He'll try. But my point is to stay close to him. And that's what I've said to people. You know, I'm no saint. In that regard, I'm a saint because I belong to the Lord. And everyone who has given their life to the Lord, yes, biblically, I am a saint. But the way that it is used, in the world, sinless, I'm not sinless. I sin less, hopefully, as I keep in step with the Spirit. But I got to remember that He's looking for a way to not only bring me down, but to bring anyone down that I might be helping. And so it's no time for me to quote unquote rest on my laurels. And so I pray that the Lord will always keep me in His Word and looking and listening for him speaking to me. And I pray, as we say at the beginning of these meetings, I pray never to go back into the food again, not to be fooled by the lie of the devil that somehow I have reached a certain level that this particular sin is not going to ever be a problem anymore. No, that's what the devil's waiting for. For me to think that I'm beyond sinning. Every one of us can do the most, you know, the heinous behavior if we allow our flesh to be in control. And so I want to humbly be before the Lord and be in His Word. I'm never beyond being tempted. That's what it says in that third paragraph. Is true. I'm never beyond that. And so I want to walk humbly with my God and to understand that just because I'm in a position of leadership, do not forget that God is the true leader. And so I want to stay humbly by His side. Like it says in Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit so that you do not gratify the desires of the flesh. If I want to keep from slipping, I got to stay very close to Him. And I love it that He's given me His Word. And that last paragraph before the prayer says, as I abide in Him daily, I can stand firm and be victorious. I love those verses in John, is John 8:31 and 32. It says, if you abide in my word, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so I want to abide in God's word. I want to stay in His word. I want to remember who I am in Him and to walk in that. And that means that I admit that I had to deal with a besetting sin, and that there's a devil who would love for me to go back into it. And since it's a very easy sin to go into from my history, no, I got to be very, very vigilant. So I'm grateful. And like I've shared before, you know, coming back from Saudi Arabia, that trip that I took and those 14 hours on the plane and each way, and just doing what needed to be done. No sainthood here, but learning the knowledge. I've learned from other people what to do. And especially in this day and age when you have to go through security where they are making sure that you don't bring any liquids or anything that can be used as a weapon or anything that even can be used as a biological weapon. So you don't want anything living coming over. And that includes food and stuff like that. And so, yeah, they will certainly take stuff from your, if they feel it's in any of those categories. And so learning how do I maintain my abstinence on a 14-hour flight? You get very learned. You learn from other people what they have done, and I've done that with God's help, and I pray to keep doing that, and not to feel like, you know, I've said before, not to feel sorry for myself. This is not a time to let up, and even coming back, you know, so I've gone over that hurdle of going out in the country again, but now it's a hurdle of this Christmas season, where people have that idea, overindulge. It's okay. Come on, girl. Let up. Let up. No, they don't know. I do know. I do know Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I do know the good witch and the bad witch, and I've lived that. I know how it is. And even when I could be smiling on the outside, I mean, I knew how to do that. She don't know. The poker face, people don't know what's going on the inside. I do. And God knows. I don't ever want to live that way. I love the love and joy, the peace and the patience the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, thank you for loving me and saving me. In the name of Jesus, I pray.